Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Jason Rants. I'm going to get to what's trending, Peyton. Don't worry about that.
Oh, yeah, can't wait.
I'm not going off the rails yet. It's great to be back on the program.
We're happy to have you back.
It's been a while, and it's not because I said something I said previously. I don't think. No, I always love filling in for Rants, but I had another set of twins.
And oh, you did?
I did.
Another set?
Yeah, I have two sets of twins.
You have two sets? How? Is that mathematically possible?
Well, twins run in our family.
Okay.
So that's why it's been a little hectic for me in the Matera household, and I would get requests to guest host, and I mean, you have two kids waking you up every few hours of the night. Thankfully, they're not doing that much anymore, but yeah, so it made guest hosting a little difficult.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
We're happy to have you back. Congrats on the twins.
I'm glad to be back filling in for Rance, and what's going on? He's on a vacation.
No, he's getting LASIK today.
He's getting LASIK.
Yeah, he's going to go fix his eyes.
Okay.
He's got horrible eyesight, horrible hearing, horrible memory. So he's going to fix one of those things.
All right, so and I love Rance's audience, and you can text in the program, 800-465-8770. Your job tomorrow, here's your homework. Your homework is very simple. A, you want to listen to the entirety of the show. I don't want to lose Rance's audience, right? I don't want him to say, what? I'm not going to invite Matera back. He lost my audience. But Peyton's going to make sure that we don't do that. We have actually a pretty robust show lined up for you. There's a lot of topics to talk about it. And it's going to be a good time. But also, the homework is tomorrow. He's back tomorrow, right?
Yes, he's back.
Unless this procedure makes him blind.
If he's not back tomorrow, then bad news.
I should have joked around that. He'll be back tomorrow. Your job, the audience, is to tell him that Matera has better hair, right?
Yes.
Text in.
100%. Yes, do that tomorrow. Actually, send it now. He'll see it.
No, well, you got to send it tomorrow when he's in the studio. It's just going to aggravate. He may be listening now. Damn it, I should have never invited Matera to... Rance, you know, Rance and I go back almost like 15 years.
Really?
Yeah, when I was in D.C., he used to write for me a publication that I was editing at the time, and we just kept in contact. Now the guy's a big Fox News star.
Yeah, don't give him too much credit. His ego's big enough, all right? He's a moderate Fox News star.
Okay, moderate? Is that what you call moderate Fox News star?
I don't want to say he's a big Fox News star.
He's a moderate. Until he gets his own show, right?
Yeah. When he guest hosts over there, then we can say he's a big-time Fox News star. But until then...
I think that's fair enough. But it's great. All that to say, it's great to be guest hosting. I love radio. A little bit about myself. I've been a talk radio host. I'm a journalist, author, television correspondent. I not only have covered politics for many years, but in the true crime genre as well, and working on a limited series documentary that, if it's greenlit, would be very exciting to talk about. I will request and demand that Jason has me on the program to talk about it when that goes through. But when I have the opportunity to guest host, it's a fun time because it's such an intimate conversation with so much that is trending now in the world. And with that said, why don't we get to what's trending?
What's trending? The homelessness crisis.
I know that. I mean, honestly, that can be a daily thing here. Peyton, I know this is not going to be a shocker to you, but on my lovely drive, I live in Seattle, my lovely drive to the studio, I passed... many encampments, many broken down RVs, many piles and piles of trash and garbage, many needles. I saw a fight break out, which if I would have time, I would have got out of my vehicle and started to root for one side. I don't know which side, but it could have been made a lot of hits on YouTube. And then, of course, because it's Seattle, you have to pass by a big billboard, big placard that said how racism was a public health crisis. Interesting. I didn't know you can catch racism, but you know, maybe the mask does that. Anyway, with the homeless issue, Rance has a story, an exclusive story that is on My Northwest. He sent it to me. So I'm guessing, Peyton, because he sent it to me, he also, that was sort of like the passive aggressive way of saying, I want you to talk about this.
Hey, you're on my show. Do my story.
You got to do my story. So, but it's a good story. I would have talked about it anyway. I know Rance has been covering the attempted rape that took place. Was it earlier in the week? No, last late last week. The attempted rape. rape that took place in the King County Courthouse. I mean, this is just despicable, right? The King County Courthouse has an encampment right there, right? There's already a murder that's taken place, right? Some vagrant already got stabbed to death. You had a senior walking his dog, and the dog was stomped to death. A dog, right? You've had a frequent... I mean, this place has so many assaults that women have been complaining that it's just an unsafe environment. You're summoning people to jury duty. You have employees going in there, and they have to pass this encampment, and it's just replete with all sorts of criminal behavior. And Seattle just accepts it. The city of Seattle just accepts this is supposed to be a normal thing. It's not a normal thing. Well, after the attempted rape, right? How did the vagrant get into the building, bud? Do we know that yet?
Yeah, went through security.
He just went through security.
Yeah, they let him in. They don't know if he was shirtless at the time that he went through security, as he was when he was getting arrested leaving the courthouse.
But did they find his shirt there?
I don't know where his shirt ended up, but
I suspect that they... Do they let them just use the restroom there?
Yeah, they let him go straight through security, and then he camped out at a women's restroom.
Right, and if it wasn't for a deputy who heard the screams, it could have turned into... It wouldn't have been an attempted rape, but an actual one. Thankfully, that didn't happen. It was thwarted. But now you have the sheriff. Matt, I always butcher her name. What's her last name?
Mitzi Johanknik.
Johanknik. There we go. So Mitzi Johanknik, and this is Rant's exclusive story, is now allowing 100% of remote telework for staff members who don't have to interact with the public. 100%. And that is specifically because of the dangerous elements that is not being cleaned up in around the King County Courthouse. There's even some King County council members who are saying, let's do a land swap. And this is what Rance gets into in the story. Let's do a land swap. Why don't we, the county, take over that land in the City Hall Park? And then Seattle can get another piece of land. And but they're basically saying is, you give us the land and we'll make sure that the encampment isn't there. This comes on the heels of 33 Superior Court judges who have sent a letter, as Rance notes, to the city of Seattle, demanding like a basic law and order, demanding that, hey, we want people there to go and not be possibly raped. I know, right? A shocker. Isn't it amazing? And today is primary day. So if you're in Seattle, you haven't filled out your ballot, go ahead, fill out your ballot. The race for mayor is, you know, your choice is Ann Davison, though, who we're going to be interviewing at 3:30, is running for city attorney against Pete Holmes, and she's fantastic, so you should certainly vote for her. But the primary ballots are due today, and this is the opportunity to go ahead and voice some accountability here to these out of control policies. I mean, people outside of Seattle ask me, like, how do people in Seattle tolerate this? And for the most part, you have nuts running around, and you've had this compulsion for compassion that has metastasized. It's no longer compassion. It's just endorsement of criminal activity. In the veneer of compassion, right? Well, we can't do sweeps. That is inhumane. Oh, is sweeps more inhumane than rape? Which one? Peyton, which one is more inhumane? Having junkies off the street or thwarting rape? Which one is more inhumane?
I don't know.
That's a tough one, right?
It's split in hairs there.
I don't know where I would land on it. Such a tough choice.
Thanks, City of Seattle.
Perhaps, I think. I know. Isn't it astonishing? That's like the binary choice here. Oh, we sweeps, or we allow criminal enterprise to fester to the point where people are getting stabbed to death, right? And I know Rance mentions, what do we need for the city to clean it up? Do we need a murder? Well, a murder has happened there. Do we need a rape? Well, a rape almost took place there, and yet nothing has been done. It's because we have feckless, incompetent leaders who are, I don't know, what's their issue? They either endorse this activity, or they are scared by a loudmouth BLM activist crowd. These homeless advocates that think, oh my gosh, you're so mean if you sweep these people off the street. No, you know what? You got to get them out. You got to get them out. They don't want services. There are beds available. They don't want help from Union Gospel Mission or Salvation Army. Always have beds available. You don't want their help? Fine. Go to jail or get the hell out of the city. And yet Seattle just subsidizes this. Think they can throw money after money to deal with homelessness. What are we in? Are we like the 16th year of our 10-year plan to fight homelessness, Peyton? What is it?
Yeah, 16? I think it started when I was about 10 years old.
Okay, yeah. And it's only gotten worse. That's not your fault, but Peyton. I mean, it's not. All
right. Thanks for the confirmation.
Just wanted to make sure that was it. We got more to talk about with Governor Cuomo. Comeuppance has happened to him. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Jason Rance. Always a pleasure to do so. Rance is out for the day. Just getting LASIK, so minor outpatient procedure. If he doesn't go blind, he'll be back here tomorrow. I'm sorry.
He can do radio blind. It's just talking, right?
Well, how is he going to prep? Are you going to read him the stories?
Okay, good call. Maybe he's not back tomorrow. I'm not reading him the stories. You can hire somebody.
Well, we shouldn't even joke about that.
That's too far. That crosses the line.
I think I feel bad. He's probably listening. He's on the way now and saying, what in the world?
Oh, 100% he's listening.
Did I do?
While he's getting LASIK, he probably asked the doctor to turn on AM 770 in the background while it's happening.
To see what Matera and Peyton are up to. Well, yeah. And then they're joking while he's getting the procedure done. Talk about him being blind.
The doctor's hearing us say that we have no faith in the operation.
I know. Well, no, the doctor's a sponsor of the show, so we have complete faith in the operation.
That's a good call.
That's a good call. Complete faith.
He's in good hands.
LASIK is fine. I have flirted with the idea. I wear contacts. It's a pain in the butt. Not much. Not really. It's not really a pain in the butt. It's part of my routine now. But I don't know. I just have something against someone fiddling with my eyes.
I mean, that makes sense.
Just in the
a little nerve wracking.
Just a little nerve wracking.
Jason's real confident in it. He enjoys it.
Well, he'll be back. He'll be back tomorrow. God willing. Okay, so we're going to continue with what's trending.
What's trending? National.
This was inevitable, and the story the updates have moved fast throughout the day. So this morning, as you probably have heard, Letitia James, who is the Attorney General of New York, released a bombshell report, talked about all the groping and sexual harassment and assaults that the governor, Andrew Cuomo, Nips, as he's also called in some circles. Do you know why they call him Nips, by the way?
No, why?
Okay. He would wear these tight shirts while he was doing his coronavirus press conferences last year.
Yeah.
And the guy had moobs. So I kid
so
you
So he earned the nickname Nips?
So he got the nickname Nips. Because of his moves. I don't know why he would be wearing these tight... Listen, the guy's in his 60s. I guess, you know, a lot of people in their 60s are going to have moves, but don't wear tight shirts, right? Like, and it almost looked like he was wearing like a wife beater underneath, so it looked like he had a bra.
Like a training bra
Like a training bra
underneath.
Going on. It was, you know, so the moves were serious. But anyway, he was... Cuomo got in trouble because, you know, he was touching, not moves, but, you know... The other stuff. It's touching the female anatomy, and this report was just more than 100 pages long, and we'll get to some of the details. The guy is just a degenerate. But Joe Biden, and this was within the last, it seems like, 30 minutes, has called on his resignation. Biden says, it's from Politico, I think he should resign. I understand the state legislature may decide to impeach. I don't know that for a fact. So if the state legislature does move with an impeachment, I believe they can. I'm not sure in the details if they replace him or if there is a vote. But at some point soon, either Cuomo resigns, and I think he has to. I mean, you have Chuck Schumer calling for his resignation. You have other prominent Democrats. You have now the most prominent Democrat, Joe Biden, calling for his resignation, and Joe Biden may forget that he's called for his resignation, so someone will have to remind him, but you know, he will continue to call for his resignation because it seems like Democrats really have it out for Cuomo. Usually they protect their own, but he seems to be so obnoxious that even Democrats can't stand him, and it may be because what was released in this report. And Fox News has a summary. There was 11. Allegations based on 11 different women, and 9 of whom worked for Cuomo either in the past or they work for him currently. And Fox News reports that several of the women accused Cuomo of making inappropriate sexual comments and engaging in unwanted touching. The most egregious being an anonymous executive assistant who claims that he invited her to his residence and groped her breast under her blouse. So that's, you know, a sexual assault right there. You know, Cuomo just, if he was in Seattle, he can go to an encampment and this would be fine. This would be tolerated. But, you know, he did it in the governor's mansion, so not tolerated. The same woman told investigators that Cuomo had also repeatedly touched her butt, kissed her on the lips at least once, and asked her on multiple occasions whether she would cheat on her husband. Okay. Repeatedly touched her butt, kissed her on the lips, and on multiple occasions was kind of seeing where she would land on an affair. Well, Cuomo, he is denied the sexual harassment. And in fact, unbelievably, his response is, and this is going to be, Peyton, this is going to be cut four, but Cuomo says that this is normal. He does this with everyone. Nothing to see here, folks.
I do it with everyone. Black and white, young,
okay,
and right, old,
that's
straight and LGBTQ, powerful people,
yep, everyone,
friends, strangers, people who I meet on the street.
Yeah, okay, yeah, he does it. I mean, that's his defense, but he just does it with everyone.
While he was saying that, he played a slideshow of him grabbing everybody by the face,
yeah,
and it went with, like, when he said black, white, it was a black person, then a white person. And I don't think that's a good case for you, Cuomo.
I was with this LGBTQ person, and, you know, I was just feeling him, hum, her, up, they, whatever the pronoun is.
All that is he sexually harasses everybody,
right? He's sexually harassing people and saying, you know, I kind of do with everyone. It's no big deal. Time to move on. But it was a big deal, and here is the Attorney General Letitia James this morning announcing the sexual harassment that her investigation took place over many months, and she issued a report. I mean, I know you're not going to read it. Who wants to read it? It's over 100 pages, but basically it details all the deviant and criminal behavior by this guy. Go ahead, play that cut.
Pieces of evidence reveal a deeply disturbing yet clear picture. Governor Cuomo sexually harassed current and former state employees in violation of both federal and state laws. The independent investigation found that Governor Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women, many of whom were young women, by engaging in unwanted groping, kisses, hugging.
He does it whatever.
And by making inappropriate comments. Further, the governor and his senior team took actions to retaliate against at least one former employee for coming forward with her story, her truth. And Governor Cuomo's administration fostered a toxic workplace that enabled harassment and created a hostile work environment where staffers did not feel comfortable coming forward with complaints
about
sexual harassment due to a climate of fear.
Okay. Yeah. Letitia James, by the way, to be fair, is gunning for his job. She will run for governor at some point, and Governor Cuomo just made it easy for her to pin him up as a trophy. Here's the thing, though. She says he violated both state and federal law. Why is he not being prosecuted? Hey, Peyton, if you were in New York and you decided to just, you know what Cuomo says, I just do it to everyone. You know, you're random people, young people, old people, LGBTQ people, black people, white people. You're just kissing them on the mouth and groping them. Do you think you can get away?
I'd probably get arrested.
Probably. I'm just saying, probably get arrested. Unless you were a vagrant. Then no. You'd be fine. In fact, you'd be indemnified from any prosecution moving forward because they don't want to criminalize your poverty, as they tell us here in Seattle. But why is this is another instance of two separate laws? If Letitia James, if I'm going to take a report seriously that this man has sexually assaulted, it's not just harassed. Oh, he gave a bad joke here or there, whatever, you know, but he's groping women. going under their blouse, smacking them in the butt, inviting them to his residence for an illicit affair. You know, if he actually engaged in criminal behavior, then you charge him with it. But because they're not charging him with it, like, he did it or he didn't. What, do you just want to shame him and that's it? Yeah, he's going to be shamed. But go ahead and make an example out of him. The story is going to have many updates throughout the show. So we will, Biden has already called for his resignation. Other Democrats will. We'll let you know if that does take place or if Cuomo will dig his heels in further. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Jason Rants. A lot to talk about on this show. Coming up, we're going to speak with Ann Davison, who is running for city attorney. She is probably the one person who you need to vote for if you live in Seattle, who can single-handedly stop a lot of the crazy that is going on. And we're going to get into how she feels about today and why she'd make a better city attorney than Pete Holmes. That coming up. Welcome back. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Jason Rants today. And what a big day to guest host, because today is primary day. Your ballots need to be in by 8 p.m., postmarked by 8 p.m. So I wouldn't try, if I would actually go to a mail drop off center if you haven't dropped it off yet and get those ballots in. Turnout seems to be a little low now, and we don't want radicals, the same radicals who have brought Seattle to the place where she is, to continue in this reckless leadership. And I got to say, when I filled out my ballot, I was sort of annoyed and frustrated with all the mayoral candidates. Some are a little better than others, but I was excited for only one reason, really. And that is to have the opportunity to vote against Pete Holmes, because we have a fantastic candidate who's been on the show with Jason Rants plenty of times, Ann Davison, and she seems to be getting under the skin of Pete Holmes, because he is attacking her more and more on social media, which probably means he's concerned. I was very excited to go ahead, and it wasn't just a protest vote against Pete Holmes. Ann Davison will do something that seems like a novel idea here in Seattle, and that is make sure that the streets are safe for tax-paying residents. I know, what a novel concept. I come here on the show driving through homeless encampment after homeless encampment. I've stopped calling the cops. Why? Because they tell me we can't do anything. Yeah, we see needles in the street. Yeah, people are stripping homes in broad daylight. We can't do anything. Why? No priorities, no cops, and then they'll be let out by Pete Holmes anyway. So what is the point? We can change that with voting, and that's why I wanted to bring Ann Davison on the program with me, Jason Matera, filling in for Jason Rants. Ann, how are you today?
I'm fantastic, Jason. It's good to talk to you.
So how are you feeling? I mean, today's primary day.
I am touched so much by the people I get the opportunity to speak to, and that includes people that are having to shelter in the encampments that you're talking about, who are often and actually frequently victims of crime themselves. And so it is really paramount that we are having this conversation today and that people understand we can have a city of compassion and safety. They are not mutually exclusive. And it is time to make sure we handle things in regards to public safety, because when we all are living in fear, we act a different way. And so it's time to bring it back to putting public safety first and foremost and center victims in the process.
Yeah, and it is remarkable how the Seattle elites and loudmouth activists and certainly the Pete Holmes of the world can say what we're doing now is compassionate, right? It's not compassionate for someone to live in squalor in the streets. It's not compassionate for people who are actually taxpayers who have to deal with this in their neighborhood. It's not passionate for the people who are in these camps who are victims of crime, as you mentioned, or sexual assaults. I mean, it's not compassionate all around. It's a complete failure of civil government. And I want you to comment on this. Pete Holmes's camp says that you don't represent Seattle values. And I wonder, what does he mean by Seattle values? Does he mean the out of control vagrancy, the rampant crime, the constant in and out of jail? Like, what Seattle values does Pete Holmes think that he stands for?
Yeah, that is the question. I mean, he calls them mainstream Seattle values. And to me, it looks like 12 years of more crime, more money, less work and less prosecution with more money, and then we get more crime. And it's just repeat, revolving door, repeat, revolving door. And really just lip service to addressing the underlying issues as to why does somebody communicate in the form of doing a criminal act. That is a different sector of society where we need to deal with that, but we need to make sure that those societal limits that we have mean something so that people can operate within society in a safe manner, and that includes everybody. So I frankly don't want to represent any of those values that he seems to subscribe to.
Yeah, and what is frustrating for many people is we look at Pete Holmes and we say, who is representing the taxpayer? Right? Who is representing the person who is just going about their life, being a good law-abiding citizen, and yet has to live in a state of fear depending on their neighborhood and depending on what encampment is nearby or depending upon the police response? And it just seems like Pete Holmes is completely out to lunch in representing the taxpayer or representing the people who are victims of crime. And he almost makes it seem like it's our fault. It's our fault that we're the ones who are victimized by crime. It's our fault that some of these neighborhoods have been deteriorating. And it's not his fault for keeping and maintaining a civil society.
Yeah, our prosecutorial system is there, and it's intended to be adversarial so that we do have someone who is standing and speaking on behalf of the victim. And then we do have a defense attorney who is there for the accused, leaving the judge to be able to make that decision. I spoke to a victim who had his car stolen and actually saw it in his own neighborhood. And so it seemed to have been taken by someone who was actually sheltered. And here his car was stolen, and he uses his personal vehicle to deliver packages. So he did not have his car for a month. He's a non-native English speaker. And so that was his livelihood, was to be able to deliver packages and to make a living. And so when you're talking about, like, you know, the crimes that are going on around, like, it's we've got to be talking to the victims. We have to be making sure that they are represented. And that is just not happening in this 12-year approach. And it is time to return that for everybody.
We are seeing in real time, we'll speak with Ann Davison, who is running for city attorney. Go vote for her if you haven't. If you want sanity back in Seattle, and here is one step you can easily take with your vote. We are seeing the results of this live experiment with these radical leaders who think that they can have a hands-off approach to crime and somehow just send out a social worker for every instance, and that's going to magically make things better for neighborhoods. And we're seeing in real time the results of crime skyrocketing and just a breakdown of law and order. And I guess my question for you is, do you think Seattle residents have had enough and they are open to someone like you? And I say that because one of the things Pete Holmes has tried to tar you with is Ann Davison, a Republican, Ann Davison, who hangs out with law enforcement. Oh, God forbid she's friendly with police officers and is at events with them. And to me, it's comical because really political titles don't really matter on a local level as much because the issues, there's more of a commonality between liberals and conservatives. But do you think Seattle residents will hear Pete Holmes and say, oh my God, I can't vote for that, and Davison, because they're associating you with the National Party? Do you think that there's enough open-mindedness to say, hey, you know what, our current approach isn't working, let's give an opportunity to someone who is at least saying much better things than Pete Holmes is?
Well, first, the only Republican I would ever want to be identified with is Dan Evans, who has endorsed me for this, a longtime Seattle resident here in Seattle. And it's because it clearly is not working. Again, I go to people I've spoken to. I've worked in a refugee camp where people were fleeing civil war, and I've spoken to war refugees from the Congo and one just the other day from Albania. And they tell me themselves, as I can attest to too, that it is far worse conditions here that we have left people here on the sides of the road in Seattle. And the neighbors that are living nearby, some of the places, they are hearing screams in the middle of the night. There is violence going on. We have people who are here wanting to profit from bad acts. Whether or not they're housed or unhoused is not part of the conversation, but we're talking about, they have allowed Pete Holmes's way, has welcomed in crime to help, and people have come here to profit from bad acts. Catalytic converters is the prime example, where we had eight stolen in 2018. Last last year it was over 700, and this year we're on track for a conservative forecast of over 2,200 stolen. That, you cannot deny, is enterprise crime, someone making a profit from doing bad acts, because Seattle has a reputation of looking the other way. So it is time to say that this is not working for anyone. Whether you're a taxpayer, regardless of your status, it is not working because it's not safe. And we have to return laws to mean something. They're a reflection of our values of society, and they have to mean something. And yes, I've done a ride-along with a police officer. And yes, I have the backing of several leaders in the community of color, because they're saying, we also want our laws to mean something. We have to have repair and healing across agencies and jurisdictions. Absolutely. But that means we have to do so where the law means something for all of us.
Yeah, we're speaking with Ann Davison, who is running against Pete Holmes for city attorney. My name is Jason Matera, filling in for Jason Rantz. And you're right, laws have to mean something, because if they are applied unequally, then eventually there's just a complete breakdown, because people will say, well, you know, why bother with these laws? And it invites more criminal enterprising into the area. And just a personal, and everyone probably in Seattle has some personal example to give, but in broad daylight, just on my way to the gym, I see a vacant home in a residential neighborhood now being stripped by vagrants. They're just stripping it, like, in broad daylight.
Wow.
And they're putting the, like, I see the metal coming out the doors from inside the bathroom, and they're just like putting it on an RV, making a Frankenstein RV. And I, you know, call 911. They don't send anyone out there. I finally called with the follow up with the non-emergency police line. They said they wasn't a priority. They can't. They didn't send anyone out there. And this is like a span of a month where these people are just taking their sweet time stripping this home and leaving needles. It's turned into a drug den. And I don't believe police have been there. And I'm not the only one who has registered complaints. But I don't think police have been there at all. And of course, the problem has metastasized. There are more RVs now. There are more needles now. There are more people stripping this home. I don't know what's left to strip at this point. But it's like a green light, total free range for a criminal act being done egregiously, not like 3 a.m, broad daylight in a residential neighborhood, a good neighborhood too, and nothing. Nothing is done. Finally, I do get a call back from the police officer and they say, we just don't have the availability to send somebody out there. You'll just have to try again. Now, I know I'm not the only one with an example like this, but it's frustrating, and it's demoralizing in the sense that it's like, why waste my time calling the police? Why waste my time? I can be doing something else. But, you know, I feel an obligation to continue to report these things. But, you know, at some point, people, I think, get demoralized and say, and like, nothing's being done, so why should I go and even report this? But the message has to be, something can be done, right? Kick Pete Holmes out of office, and then we can have a fresh breath of leadership to actually deal with these ongoing problems.
Absolutely. I'm so disheartened to hear that story. But yet at the same time, I'm full of hope that we can collectively make a difference. I mean, children even know, my young kids observationally know, they don't have to be told. They can see two sets of laws, and they can see that sometimes you're required to follow the law, but then sometimes there's doesn't seem to be rules over in this other area. And they're trying to make sense of it. And I get gravely concerned about what society they and their peers will inherit in 10 to 20 years. If we have young people growing up who are trying to process the social modeling that we are allowing to occur, which is that we don't have laws across the board apply. And that cannot be something that anyone should tolerate. We need to make sure that we are restoring public health and safety. We have to reconcile the fact that we are failing to meet the needs of the most vulnerable, in addition to not doing the basic functions of public health and safety. And it starts with changing the person in this seat and getting new eyes on the same problem so that we have a new approach and we restore safety for everyone here.
Ann Davison, who's running for city attorney against Pete Holmes. I was excited to vote for her. I told my neighbors to vote for her. You should go tell your neighbors to vote for her if you're in Seattle. Let's send a strong message to Pete Holmes that his dereliction of duty will not be tolerated any longer. Ann Davison, thanks for coming on the Jason Rantz Show with me, Jason Matera, and good luck tonight.
Thank you so much. Everyone can see more at neighborsforann.com. And yes, please vote. It is critical and imperative that we do so. Thank you for your time.
You got it. Take care. Jason Matera filling in for Jason Rand. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. My name is Jason Matera, the other Jason, filling in for Rand today. We're going to keep you updated. A lot of breaking news with Governor Cuomo, or I call him Nips, because he skipped chest day repeatedly over his many years, and it shows when he wears tight shirts. But anyway, Nips, Governor Cuomo, has now been called upon to resign by Nancy Pelosi and the DA in Albany, New York, the capital of New York. The DA says he's investigating Cuomo for criminal charges. And I mean, you got to bring charges against this guy. If Letitia James, the attorney general, says he broke state and federal law, well, then someone should hold him accountable. So a lot of updates that we will give you throughout the show. Sad news. So did you guys talk about Spiffy's much?
Yeah,
were defying the order? Did you have the owner on?
Yeah, we had the owner on. Big story when it came out, last December, I want to say?
Yeah.
We talked Spiffy's quite a bit.
So Spiffy's restaurant and bakery in Chehalis, Washington, defied Inslee's order and never shut down, as they should. I mean, any business with any ounce of integrity really should have defied the order. COVID didn't kill off these businesses. Government lockdowns killed off the business. And we may be heading to more lockdowns. Great. But anyway, so Spiffy's racked up $400,000 in fines. That was slashed in half. The attorney general's office, amazingly, was going to rescind all the fines. But Inslee's office, to make an example, said no. So he has like $260,000 worth of fines. But it doesn't matter because they are unfortunately going out of business. And do we have audio from the owner on why they're going out?
He can have the restaurant. If Jay wants the restaurant, he can have it. I mean, I don't care. $240,000, I probably can't even sell it for that right now.
And he noted that it wasn't the fines necessarily, but he just can't find staff.
We closed because of a couple of reasons. One, we can't get employees. That's probably the big one. It is we're losing waitresses now.
Yeah, he can't find employees. It was hard to get deliveries, and all this is a result of the government lockdowns that were in place, and the incentive for people not to work. Now there were people who needed. I mean, if the government says you cannot work, then of course the government has to provide some sort of unemployment safety net. But at this point, when you have so many businesses who are saying, we need workers. I mean, every time I am out, I see signs and advertisements for work that's available. But yet, it's going to be human nature, and it's obvious if the unemployment, which I think the pandemic unemployment, the federal government's addition runs out in after Labor Day. So if people are making more money, eat chips on the couch, they're going to go ahead and do it. It's in their interest. But the sad news, Spiffy's is out of business. We got a lot to talk about on the Jason Rand Show with me, Jason Matera. We'll keep you updated on any more news with Cuomo. Bill de Blasio. Oh, my. Just can't stand him. You see what he's doing. And a government bureaucrat at the CDC wants you to wear a mask indoors with your kid. Insane. These people are lunatics. We're going to get to that. Jason Matera filling in for Jason Rantz. We'll be back in a flash.